was and still is an all-boys school, or young men, as we were called. So there weren't a lot of tears then. But the days that followed were filled with sadness and confusion. We had to go to several sorrowful masses and listen to lectures about the slain president and the tragedy that had befallen America. Mostly, though, we were confused. My life at the time revolved around sports and friends. I didn't think too much about national politics. I took pride in wearing the red and gold school colors on the field, did my homework, and tried to stay in line with the school rules. I don't remember talking to my friends about the assassination. Life was pretty simple in those days. For adults, the rules seemed to be these. You worked hard, obeyed the law, cared for your family, looked out for your neighbors, and respected your country. The Kennedy assassination shattered that calm sense of order. People throughout America were asking themselves and one another why it happened and who really killed the president. In 1960, when Kennedy was elected, I was in sixth grade at St. Bridget's Catholic School in Westbury, Long Island. Of course, his picture was on the walls of all the classrooms because he was the country's first Catholic president. And he was Irish to boot. I had Kennedys in my background. My mother's grandmother was Winifred Kennedy. And all American Kennedys like to think they were related to this groundbreaking president. And because we were Irish Catholic too, my family felt a deep emotional tie to the president and his family. Soon after JFK was elected, there was a scary change at the school. 3 months after his inauguration, there was a standoff between Russia and Cuba and the people of the United States. And we were afraid there would be a nuclear war. To prepare for this, we had fallout shelter drills at school. When the bell rang, all the kids had to file out to the school parking lot. If a war had started, buses would take us to an underground bunker. There would be other showdowns during JFK's presidency, as well as times of family relaxation. And it seemed as if we were in on all of them. There were photos of the president in meetings, walking with world leaders, speaking around the world, sailing on his yacht, and playing with his children. He was a very glamorous figure, young and energetic. He had style, and his wife Jackie had even more style. Kennedy was friendly with the press and let them show what his life was like to the folks. He was our first president who liked to be on television. And it was television that kept the country in touch when JFK was assassinated. After the killing, my mother and father, like most Americans, were glued to the TV. For 3 days after the 1:40 p.m. news bulletin on November 22, 1963, America watched. Walter Cronkite, the most respected man in TV news, had broken into the broadcast of a soap opera to announce the shooting. All the major networks showed the return of the president's body to Washington, D.C., his funeral mass at the Cathedral of St. Matthew, and his burial at Arlington National Cemetery. Not a single commercial was aired during those 3 days. My father was not enthusiastic about the new president, Lyndon Johnson. My mother was sad and mostly worried about Jackie Kennedy and her two young children. To me, JFK was a distant figure who died in a terrible way, although many of the photographs of that day have stayed with me always. It wasn't until I got to college that I began to be interested in politics and in how great men like JFK met the challenges that were thrown at them. Bill O'Reilly, New York, June 2013.
Part 1. The Making of a Hero. Chapter 1. January 20th, 1961. Washington, D.C., 12:51 p.m. The man with fewer than 3 years to live places his left hand on the Bible. Earl Warren, Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, stands before him reciting the presidential oath of office. You, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, do solemnly swear. I, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, do solemnly swear, the new president repeats in his Boston accent. John Kennedy was born into wealth and has a refined manner of speaking that would seem to distance him from many people, but he is an enthusiastic and easily likable man. He won the popular vote over Richard Nixon by a razor-thin margin, getting just 49% of the total votes. So not everyone loves JFK, but this